Hey guys, welcome back to another episode with Women in Tech with Ariana. Y'all, I am so excited to talk about today's topic, but before we get into it, have you subscribed yet? I have a YouTube channel, Instagram. I even have a Facebook for those of you who use Facebook. Okay, make sure you all follow, like, and subscribe at Women in Tech with Ariana everywhere on all the platforms. If you're listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, those are the two top platforms where we have the most followers. Please make sure you rate five stars, and like, subscribe, share this podcast, all that good stuff. Okay, let's get into it. So everyone is talking about it, so I had to hop onto this. We got to talk about AI, guys, and I'm probably going to end up doing like a series, but let me not overpromise because next week's episode is actually going to be something even more exciting and fun. But we got to talk about Sora. So I'm sure you all have seen like those viral videos of Sora. So Sora is the new AI tool that OpenAI, which I'll get into it and talk a bit more about them, is launching, where you basically can create videos from text. So you all have probably seen those viral videos on Instagram specifically and Facebook, where there's like this couple walking in Tokyo through the rain, and there's another really cool video of a dog that's like walking on a window pane, and it looks real, like it looks good. The level of detail, the colors, the movements of the dog, the movements of the people, it just really looks amazing. And then there's like this third video of this dude, he's like 30 years old, and he looks like a spaceman walking around with like a knitted cap. And it's just the level of detail from what was described in the text to what was shown in the video. And I think it has a lot of people concerned. And so I kind of really just wanted to talk about it today and kind of share my opinion a bit as well. So OpenAI, and just so you all know for context, if it's your first time hearing about this company, so they are a research and development company that focuses on AGI. If you ever hear that acronym, AGI just stands for Artificial General Intelligence. And so basically what AGI is systems that like help AI be like completely autonomous and have self-control, right? And so OpenAI, right, is this company that has developed so many phenomenal different tools. Some think it's phenomenal, some people don't. So we'll just say that. But their mission, like they say on their website, is to ensure that artificial general intelligence benefits all of humanity and it helps to like solve human level problems. So you've played around, I'm pretty sure by now, with ChatGPT, right, which is one of their AI tools that allows you to pretty much answer any question that doesn't pass. I think 2021, it might have been updated to 2022, but I know 2021 is where their current data kind of stops at. So anything from 2021 and older, you can ask certain questions. It can assist you with writing legal documents, presentations. A lot of students are using it for their homework. You know, I'm pretty sure like many of you who are listening to this podcast, you grew up using like Chegg, right? Which was the tool back in the day, like when I was in high school, I used Chegg to help me find like math problems. I definitely used it in college, you know, trying to solve differential equations and doing things in calculus, et cetera, physics homework, all that good stuff. Well, since the launch of like ChatGPT, Chegg is basically like they are going belly up and they're losing a lot of people because since the launch of ChatGPT, like there's a whole, you can Google it and find the graph on it about how ChatGPT specifically transformed their company and how a lot of students aren't using the technology. And so that's just one example. Maybe you've heard of DALL-E. So DALL-E is a tool that was developed by OpenAI that allows you to generate images and get descriptive images. So a lot of artists use DALL-E, a lot of creatives use DALL-E to be able to generate images that they can use for content or whatever you need at business, et cetera. And so these are some of the examples of what they've built, but there's a lot of concerns. So the name of this tool that I'm talking about, by the way, is Sora. So Sora, you know, is the text to video API that they developed. And a lot of people are concerned. I know there's tons of content online, especially from the Hollywood community. We all know and have heard of a lot of the strikes and stuff that they have kind of gone through over this last, I think, was it last couple of years? And so now when you talk about being able to develop these high level quality videos from just text, like that's a big deal. Like, does this mean that crew teams that, you know, shoot videos, whether it's music videos, content for, you know, video series, how does this transform Netflix? How does this transform Amazon Prime Video, right? How does this transform YouTube? Okay, does this replace actors, right? Like now the video examples that have kind of been shown with this Sora API tool are more like animated, right? Like you can tell, well, actually, no, it's not even just animated because there are real life like examples of videos that Sora developed. And so there's a lot of concerns, particularly with that industry, which I can definitely for sure see. And another big thing that came up is like, will this replace content creators, right? Like, will this replace even me? Like, can Sora take my content or someone describe me so well and create series of videos that could be used for a podcast or a podcast dupe of Women in Tech with Ariana, or even you listening to this episode right now? So I think there are a lot of valid concerns, right, when you think about innovation and how this tool can be used for good or bad. And I was reading through their plan and their vision statement that was authored by their very infamous CEO, Sam Altman. Totally Google him if you don't know that name. And, you know, on their website, they talk a lot about just like their vision of the future, their goals, and what they hope that their company can commit to and create for the future of all mankind, to be honest. And so on their short-term mission, I have it here, I'm just going to read it, is that it says, you know, we expect powerful AI to make the rate of progress in the world much faster. And we think it's better to adjust to this incrementally. So that's just like one statement, not their full short-term mission that I kind of pulled from it. But, you know, I think to a degree, they have a point. Like at the end of the day, like there's no way of stopping this. There's no government, there's no election, there's no policy, there's no amendment that can stop the rate of how this technology is being used and built. And it's already unleashed. And people can actually fork the code and create their own versions of ChatGPT AIs. I know tons of startup companies that are developing companies around using ChatGPT as an engine, for example. I know the same thing will happen for Sora, DALL-E, all these other API tools. And so, you know, the cat's already out the bag. And like they said, you know, it's better to adjust to it incrementally. What I will say about OpenAI's, I'll just make a comment about their vision and mission statement on their website, is that it seems, I like that they are being transparent about the fact that, hey, we know that this is literally going to change everything overnight. And so it seems outside looking in, their mission is, we're here, we're building it, people can use us as a leverage, but also there seems to be this temperature check that they do understand that, okay, but here are also the dangers of it and what we're doing to try to move forward to ensure that this can actually benefit people and anyone. And so I've just been doing some research and it's been really interesting to see how different countries and people respond to this announcement. And one thing that really like took over the internet the other week was the country of Singapore, which is so advanced. Singapore, in many different ways, has some really cool things going on. But in particular, they announce and they believe that basically AI and making sure that their citizens have the knowledge of how it's going to be used and how they can use it is absolutely imperative for their citizens. And so the country of Singapore, just to give you all an example, is now offering subsidized education for adults 40 plus. To keep up with the changes of technology. Like I love how they're, one, they realize like this stuff is moving fast. Two, they better hop on it Or they're going to be literally hundreds of millions of people, not even potentially, there will be hundreds of millions of people in the world who miss out on their opportunity where their jobs are going to be replaced. And if you're not finding ways to figure out how you can apply this to your day-to-day life, at least understand it at the basic level of how to use the tool, there are going to be absolute concerns for you in the future, for sure. Because we're already seeing how AI is taking over and transforming a lot of different industries. One of my favorite new examples is McDonald's. They just released their like fully robotic and automated food chain store where you don't even need people to be there anymore outside of cleaning the place up. And I saw a release, I think, I don't know if it was Boston Robotics or a different company. You all Google it, fact check it. But there's another company that's already invented a fully automated like janitorial robot. And so that's cleaning everything to the T, right? And so when we talk about these technologies, I think it's very important for the government, especially for the US government. When I think about Congress, when I think about the Senate, when I think about people in political power, like if you're listening to this episode and you have an ounce of power in your city, your township, your state, in this country, and you have some level of control, you have to take this serious. Like when we talk about creating access to opportunity, now because of this technology, it's not even about classism anymore. Well, now take that with a grain of salt. Like that's a whole other conversation for another day. So don't, that's not really what I meant. But the point of what I'm saying is that whether you are rich or poor, if you have access to understanding how to use this technology, this is your opportunity to use it to make a positive gain for your family from a generational wealth perspective. Or maybe you don't care about generational wealth and you just want to make sure that you have job security. Like this is the next new wave since literally the dot-com boom. And I would say really blockchain boom, which just happened within the last like, you know, 10 to 15 years. And so if you are in any sort of political power or you're thinking about getting into it, you really need to take this serious and make sure that the people around you and the people under you and the people that you serve are educated when it comes down to artificial intelligence and how they can use it in their day-to-day life. So at the end of the day, like AI is not going anywhere and someone had to build it. Whether it was OpenAI, Sam Altman's team, or it was someone else, like period, it would have been developed. And I honestly believe it would go the exact same way that it's going right now. And my advice to those of you who are just like new to tech, or maybe you don't know anything about it, or maybe you're at an age where you just don't feel like you belong, listen, like, and this is like me being very serious, to quite literally be able to survive in the next, I'm not talking 20 years or 15, 10, I'm talking the next 2 to 5. Like things are moving fast. And it's very important for you to at least understand and know the basics. In my last episode, I talked about how important it is for everyone to become a software engineer. And that doesn't mean that you have to understand the deepest levels of coding and understand what the zeros and ones mean and binary code and all this good stuff. What it means is that you need to be able to quickly adapt and build, period. Okay. And be curious, constantly curious, because things are changing at this point. I mean, things are changing at a rate of months and weeks. The technology is growing and moving faster and faster. And so it's super important. So let's talk a little bit about just like exactly how does this technology Sora work? So as I said earlier, it's a text to video AI model. So if you've used ChatGPT, it will work very similarly where instead of like spitting back out text instructions, it'll give you a video description based on the text that you entered into the API. And so, okay, my light just went out. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm going to keep rolling. I'm not going to pause this. But there is one differentiator that I wanted to talk about. So oftentimes like on Twitter, so like if you're on tech Twitter, like I am, make sure you follow me, Ariana the Techie. But, you know, on tech Twitter, there is this debate that often happens where it's about like, oh, like, is AI really that deep? It's just a series of if-else statements. And like, you know, to a degree, yes. So this is for like all like my software engineers that are totally listening to this episode right now. But I did want to kind of make a differentiator and help you understand like really what's going on behind the scenes. So yes, that is technically a part, right? So if you don't know what that means and you listen to this right now, if-else statements are essentially a series of lines of code that say, like, if this happens, then this can happen, right? So, for example, if I go outside, then the sun will touch my skin, right? And so it's a series of cause and effects that kind of happen, but in code. It's much deeper than that, but that's really kind of a high level to kind of just make a translation right now. And so that's what we call a rules engine, right? So there are a series of rules that are being developed in code that allow something to happen, right? So if this, then this. But when we talk about the type of AI that OpenAI has developed, this is what we call statistical AI. So what this means is that it's using like computational techniques that are similar to how the human brain processes information. So just like how you and I connect dots to make decisions, to be in a relationship or go outside or have, you know, fun with family because of certain things that are going on in our lives, or having a blast with friendships or breaking up with friendships, whatever. It's kind of working similar to, not even kind of, but exactly like how our brains work of connecting those dots, going, making decisions and going into deep thought. And so that's how OpenAI develops their AI systems through this computational, through a variety of different computational techniques. And in summary, like, and to keep it plain and simple, it ain't simple, right? And it's not as simple as people seem. So I know I've seen a lot of those debates and stuff on Twitter. And so just kind of wanted to debunk that a little bit. But, you know, of course, there are good things and bad things that come from this technology. Bad things, right, are copyright infringement challenges. There's been tons of issues with a lot of artists specifically who have gotten their content like stolen, especially with DALL-E. So that's their image API generator. And there have been some like major artists that have seen their work being used and reprinted and resold in different ways. So that's one of the issues when we think about Sora, like how is this going to impact the video industry, right? So if someone tries to steal, name, insert name, Hollywood producer name here, their content, how do they combat that, right? And then there's also obviously the concern, most obvious one, which is the replacement of jobs and how this is going to impact the Hollywood industry. But there also, I would say, you know, there are many good things that can come out of this. Now, more than anything, everyone can be able to create faster, right? The ability to create faster, generate more content. So maybe, yes, Hollywood doesn't need as many people who are in the video industry and filming, but maybe those people that had those older traditional jobs can now become a little bit more tech savvy, and they're utilizing these API tools to generate content faster, right? So that's a positive thing that could come out of this. Another thing, right? And so what that basically means is that this is an opportunity to create more jobs or different types of jobs. I love to give the example of like Ford Motor, right? So we all know how Ford got started, Henry Ford developing this company in the United States. Well, before that, there was the horse and buggy industry. There was a person that built the buggy. There was a person that, you know, tended to the horses. There was the person that knew both sides of the business. There was a person that cleaned the horse. There was a person that, you know, used to call them, I think, pooper scoopers. So the people who used to clean up the poop in the streets when horses, like, that was also a job. And so those people lost their jobs when the car was invented. And although, yes, that may be a bit apples to oranges, but the same concept applies, right, when we're talking about to evolution and changes happening to an industry. And so I look at it the same way for, you know, just AI and how it's going to innovate different industries. The other, you know, benefit that I'll mention is that, you know, more people will be able to become creatives. So now it's not even just limited where you have to be an expert developer to code or an expert, you know, producer or creator or videographer or whatever, audio engineer to develop good content. Now you can do these things using this tool, right? Where now more people have access to generate content. And if you're an actor, a builder, you know, in the Hollywood space, I want to encourage you in a different way and look at it from a different perspective. So I believe there's going to be huge licensing opportunities in the future due to the like Sora API. So think of it like this. Ryan Gosling or Denzel Washington, and all of the other famous actors and actresses that exist in the world. Like, in the future, what does it look like for Denzel, right, or Ryan to be able to license their identity to create video content at scale, right? Now, of course, that gets into issues, right? Identity theft. To what degree does a person have access to this content? But I mean, all of that can be used right through contracts. And I think there's even an opportunity where someone can develop something where people can license out their identity. And after the expiration date, maybe the content disappears or they no longer have a right to use it, et cetera. But I really think there's a lot of huge opportunities here. And if I could even add another point here, I honestly really believe that there are probably equally as much good opportunities as there are bad, period. And so does that mean we shouldn't use the technology? To be honest, I think we're beyond that. My personal opinion is no, I don't think that that's true. Now, would I want to license out my full identity and my full image to generate, different content and stuff through Sora or DALL-E or whatever API? I can't say that I'd be willing to do that now, but in the future, would I? I mean, and also think about, like, from a perspective of an estate. Let's say I die, or Denzel dies, or Ryan Gosling dies. Well, what if, like, Denzel creates a wealth opportunity where he's consistently licensing himself out even after his death? What kind of generational wealth opportunities can be created there? And so that's kind of where my mind goes, which, again, for many people, that can be scary. But the reality is that this technology is already being used. And so I think it's our duty to kind of look at it from a perspective of, well, hey, if it exists, how can I use this for good? And, this actual example of kind of licensing out yourself or your creative knowledge or your identity, et cetera, makes me think of, like, what happened with Warner Music. So I don't know if you guys know, but last year, Warner Music, right, which is a huge music record label, signed an actual CGI, which is a computer-generated imagery artist, like a full, like, AI artist that creates content, like it's an actual digital character that they signed to be, like, a part of their record label. You can Google her name. So the artist's name is Nounouri. So that's Nounouri. And that's one word on YouTube. Or just Google, like, Warner Music CGI character. And she's literally purely digital. And they licensed her out to be a part of their record label. So, at this point, guys, we're pretty much far beyond where we were 2 years ago. And I still think there's going to be a lot of opportunities. And the reality is, again, like I said previously, this technology isn't going anywhere. And what you don't want to be is one of those naysayers who 20, 30 years ago said that the dot-com boom was going to be a bust, right? And that the iPhone era was just a fad. Look at where we are today. You can literally Google, there's a guy who was interviewing I believe it was the CEO at the time of Yahoo, and they were interviewing him about email at the time and how email technology, like, oh, you can just send a direct message through the internet. And this guy is just literally going in on this particular CEO. I can't remember exactly if it was the CEO of Yahoo or not, but you can Google it. And he's making fun of this person for developing email technology and how it wasn't going to last long. And when you look back at those videos, it's just like, wow, I do not want to be that person that looks that foolish. And so, to be honest with you, I would love to encourage you, if you're listening to this episode and you listen to it this far in, thank you. And don't forget to subscribe. You better be, how you going to listen to it this far in and you not even following and subscribing? Okay, make sure you follow Women in Tech with Ariana. But you really don't want to be that person. And here's the other thing, guys. It's not going to take 20 or 30 years to whether you look like the genius or the fool in this case. It's going to be another 5. So I think whatever industry you're on, I don't care if you're in the hair care industry, if you're a 40-year tech vet, if you were in construction, you're, making a life transition, you are a mom and you took off work and now you're thinking about getting into it, or maybe you are a career professional, but you've been on the business and marketing side of things, but now you want to become more of a techie. Like, Now is the time to hop in. It's never too late to learn. And, you know, to be honest, this is the next best and greatest thing outside of blockchain technology. And I'll talk a bit about that in another episode. But anywho, what do you think about all of this? Make sure you leave a comment on Instagram on my last post. Let me know what you think about Sora and the new technology. Is this something you would use? Do you see yourself licensing out your identity or your voice in the future to use it as leverage to create content? Or maybe you just see yourself as an everyday user of Sora or ChatGPT or DALL-E. I want to hear what you think. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Next week is going to be super lit. So I hope you tune in, subscribe, share. Thank you for listening. Talk to you soon. Bye.